Books, Books. Read, read, Books, Books. Read, read, Books, Books. Hold them in your hand, and you'll hippity hoppity clippity cloppity off to a different land.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Roundtable. It is Tuesday. Time for book picks and our list from our independent bookseller of the week. We are very pleased to have a newbie with us, bookseller Digby Baker Porzinski of Northshire Bookstore in Saratoga Springs in Manchester Center, Vermont, joining us this morning to present some of the fine authors and books that are making their way to store shelves. Digby, and am I right, Digby, that this is your first time on the program?
Absolutely, Joe. It is my first time doing anything like this. I've only been a bookseller for about a month and a half.
Well,
I've been training for it my whole life.
Well, we get the pros. Excellent. So how did you become to this line of work? As you say, you've been training for your whole life.
Well, I'm certainly a book lover. That should be evident. I wasn't actually job hunting, but I did see a post from Northshire saying that they had an opening, and it's one of the most magical places I've ever been in my life. So I applied within like half an hour and was absolutely overjoyed to get a position here.
Well, we are overjoyed that you are with us this morning to give us a list. So let us begin. Where would you like to start?
All right. So I'm going to start this morning with the first book that I sort of borrowed from Northshire when I started working here, which also comes from one of my first favorite authors when I was in high school, which is Ken Follett. The book is The Evening and the Morning. So for those who aren't familiar with Ken Follett, he was known for over a decade for producing spy thriller after spy thriller, just over and over. And then out of the blue in 1989, he dropped a massive, I think, 900-page historical epic called The Pillars of the Earth, which started a series called Kingsbridge and was my favorite book in high school. So with Follett, when it comes to his historical novels, his greatest strength is research and world building. So if he's writing about medieval England, then as long as the book is in your hands, you feel like you're in medieval England. It's awesome. And the case is the same for The Evening and the Morning, which takes place during the fearsome Viking invasions of England. It's a phenomenal book all around, great for history fans, and you don't need to have read any of his other books to appreciate it. It's technically a prequel to the Kingsbridge series, but it really stands on its own.
The name of the book is The Evening and the Morning by Ken Follett, and it is terrific. Just another great addition to his collection. All right, next up.
All right, so I'm always on the lookout for the next big history book, and this one's a great candidate. It's The Age of Wood by Roland Enos, maybe Enos. I did not check the pronunciation of his name. It's a sweeping, fascinating history in the style of Jared Diamond or Yuval Noah Harari. And the entire purpose of the book is that it closely examines the chronically understated role of wood in shaping human society. So wood as a material, as a connector, as a supply source that needs to be fought over and protected. So Roland takes us from the primitive tools of our pre-human ancestors up to the great ships and buildings of empires around the world, all the way to the modern ramifications of deforestation and climate change. And when I was reading it, what struck me the most is that it's not just history, even though it's a phenomenal history book. He brings in botany, physiology, anthropology, chemistry, and geopolitics. It's very exciting to see how he can tie all of these different factors together with something we don't think about very often, which is the role of wood.
The Age of Wood is the name of the book by Roland Enos. Okay, next up.
All right, so I mentioned Yuval Noah Harari back there. And speaking of him, I want to talk about Sapiens, A Graphic History. The first volume is called The Birth of Humankind. So I had no idea this book existed. I mean, Sapiens was one of my favorite history books that I've read. I tore through it when I first found it. But when a box full of this massive graphic novel adaptation first arrived at Northshire, I thought, how on earth are they going to try and make that into a comic book? Because it's full of all these complicated and heady concepts that he relentlessly throws at you all through Sapiens. But the graphic novel edition breaks these concepts down lightly and humorously, and it's easier to follow, I think, without sacrificing any of the profound insight from the original book. So it's an encompassing and sort of theme by theme history of the human race as a whole. And whether you loved the original book, Sapiens, or you never read it, and whether you're a seasoned history buff or a 10-year-old who just likes cool pictures, this is a wonderful book that I think really deserves a good look.
Sapiens, a graphic history. Okay, next up.
Okay, so this one is less new and noteworthy than some of these other ones and more old and arcane, but you'll get to where I'm trying to bring you.
Okay.
I studied abroad in Florence in 2019, and I wanted to read, you know, some of the great works that have come out of there. So I picked up The Decameron by Giovanni Boccaccio, which was written in the 14th century. He wrote it at the height of the Black Death in Italy, and it follows 10 young citizens of Florence who flee the city to socially distance in the countryside in Fiesole and wait out the worst of the plague, telling each other stories. And I read this last year in the fall, and I thought, you know, this is great. This will never be relevant. but of course, yeah, now we're surrounded by these stories and everyone's socially distancing and trying to flee urban areas. And I grabbed the book off my shelf immediately. I was like, this can't be right. This is 600 years old. It can't possibly be relevant in 2020. But here it is. So I do highly recommend that. It's a collection of stories with a frame narrative. And the stories go from like properly pious to like very, very raunchy for a book from the 14th century. So it's just a fascinating read and surprisingly relevant in 2020.
The Decameron by Giovanni Boccaccio, and it is still in print.
Yeah.
That's good. Excellent. All right, next up.
Okay, so I'm going from that tome of a book that you could hit someone over the head with and knock them out to a teeny tiny little book you could almost fit in your pocket. This one took me about 25 minutes to read, but they were a good 25 minutes. Creativity, a Short and Cheerful Guide by John Cleese of Monty Python fame. As advertised, it's meant to be a guide to grasping creativity, and it's surprisingly well-researched and informative. It's John Cleese, so I kind of expected it to be just a hilarious collection of jokes loosely related to creativity. But it really is like a helpful book. It's his signature hilarity doesn't take center stage, but it's there. I laughed more than once. The main conceit of creativity is that it's easier to be creative if you give yourself time and space to solve a problem or generate an idea and trust your subconscious to kind of meander its way to a solution rather than trying to cut through at full speed. And he cites like psychological studies that have proven that is a effective way of not only engendering creativity, but solving problems in any field, like whether you're an artist or like a business executive. I was surprised how valuable I found it. And I think I'm going to use a lot of the lessons I learned in the future.
Yeah, it's a delightful little book. It's called Creativity, a Short and Cheerful Guide by John Cleese of Monty Python fame, of course. All right, next up.
So this one's also pretty gifty, as was Creativity in this festive holiday season. So this one's called Hero's Feast, the official D&D cookbook. For those poor souls who don't know, D&D stands for Dungeons and Dragons. It's a tabletop role-playing game centered around teamwork and creativity, primarily for nerds, which is why I find myself recommending it. I'm a bookseller, of course, I've played D&D a little bit. So like I said, D&D is really a game about community. And you know, you sit around a table, you solve problems together. And the cookbook reflects that really well. It's got instructions for, you know, not just for cooking it for large groups, but also with large groups with help. And I was really impressed with the quality of writing that they kind of intersperse along with the depth of recipes. The book itself is over 200 pages long, so it's a hefty cookbook. It's a great companion for game night, you know, making snacks for D&D or any other similar game. But the complexity and the diversity of the recipes, which are kind of divided by like the in-game races and along the lines of existing material like books and stories and maps that have been celebrated for decades since when the game was invented, the book stands strong on its own. It's got stuff like iron rations, trail mix, bangers and smash, like a dwarven version of bangers and mash, chicken something dumplings. It was really just a blast to flip through, because the illustrations, the photos, and these great little glimpses into the fantasy world made it almost as fun to read standalone as it was to look at recipes.
Heroes Feast, the official D&D cookbook by Kyle Newman, John Peterson, and Michael Widmer. It took three human beings to write that book.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Yeah.
In the spirit of D&D.
Job well done. Yes. What else?
So I got one more for you, Joe.
All right.
This one's called A Thousand Ships by Natalie Haynes. I've more or less only just started. I'm about 100 pages in, but I can tell I'm just going to love it, and I think a lot of people will. So A Thousand Ships isn't so much a reimagination as a retelling of the events encompassed in the Iliad, the Aeneid, and the Odyssey, focusing on the perspective of the otherwise neglected women characters in the fashion of Circe or Song of Achilles. That's kind of been a trend lately in the writing community, a really awesome one. And I loved the Aeneid in high school. I took Latin for 6 years and just adored like the old stories. And it's wonderful to see how well Haynes references even the smallest details from the original text while dreaming up fresh interpretations and sensible conclusions. I've noticed that there's portions in which like the original poets would say that stuff could only be attributed to the acts of gods, and they were very literal about that. But she's really good at twisting something into being, explainable by mortal or mundane means, but still keeping the spirit of the divine intervention that's so common in those original texts. So far I've found there's a lot of promise. It doesn't come out until January, but it's definitely worth a read when it does. I'm really enjoying it so far.
A Thousand Ships by Natalie Haynes. It is, you can pre-order it now. You can get it for yourself or give it to a loved one for the holidays. Order it, give them a card, and they'll know it's coming. That's exciting. Anything else you'd like to share with us in the moment or two that we have left?
Yeah, I just want everyone to stay safe out there. Northshire is still open for in-person browsing, but I know that we've hit an absolute record for web orders, so we really appreciate that people are, still taking this seriously and staying home while preparing for the holiday season. So shop early.
All right. And you've got – I just want to touch on one event you've got coming up tomorrow night, which is with James Patterson. And I'll be interviewing James Patterson, talking about his new book on the last days of John Lennon, plus the latest Alex Cross novel. So we'll be having a great conversation. Is it at 7 o'clock or is it 6 o'clock? I think it's at 6 o'clock.
Oh, I don't have that up. I think I saw that it was at 6 o'clock, but I don't have it on there.
Yeah,
right
I think
now.
You're right. I think it's 6 o'clock. Check out the website. They'll tell you the truth. Don't believe us. We just work there. No. I'm checking now. I want to make sure I have this right.
Thanks, Joe.
Digby, I have to make sure. Yeah, I should know that Jane Smiley is doing an event tonight. I have nothing to do with that event, but that'll be a lot of fun, too.
That one's at 5 p.m. That one I can tell you about.
There you go. Jane Smiley.
Thank you for doing my job for me, Joe.
Perestroika in Paris is the new Jane Smiley book. The new John Lennon, it's The Last Days of John Lennon and Deadly Cross are the two James Patterson novels. He'll be doing a Northshire Live event, and we're going to be taping a book show from that conversation, and you can join us from the comfort of your very own home. It begins at 6 p.m. You were right, Digby. 6 p.m. Tomorrow night, and you can check out more information about all of these cool events and all of the books that Digby talked to you about by going to Northshire.com. Northshire.com for more information. You can also go to our website, wamc.org/roundtable. We have Digby's entire list. In fact, we have all of the book lists that we've pretty much ever had on this show posted there as well. wamc.org/roundtable, or of course, go to northshire.com. Digby Baker Porzynski, I hope this is not the highlight of your 6-week-old book-selling career, but I thank you very much for being with us, and have a beautiful holiday season, and I look forward to speaking to you soon.
Joe, it was an honor and a pleasure. Thanks so much.
Thank you very much. Again, you can find out more information about the books and the book list by going to northshirebookstore.com. Actually, it's northshire.com, just northshire.com. Yeah. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.